Good morning. Good to see y'all. I haven't made my way up this year. Barbara's been doing the craft, so it's great to see y'all. Those who know me very well know that I love to fish. And I will fish from a dock, a boat, stand in the surf, whatever. I love to fish. And one of my sisters and my youngest son share that love with me. And we have all spent countless hours fishing together and making some great memories. One of the top of the memories in my mind happened a few summers ago. My sister and I were going to Houston for a funeral. Well, one thing led to another, and we decided that since Galveston is so close to Houston, we could probably sneak in a little fishing after the funeral. So we loaded up my SUV with all of our equipment, go to Houston, attend the funeral after the services are over. We're paying our respects to the family, and the widow pulls us aside and says, as a thank you for driving so far, please take one or two of the very large funeral sprays on the easels with you. It was awkward, and I said, oh no, we politely declined, and this lady you do not know. And we said, okay, we'll take one. And it was huge. I mean, you've seen them. And we didn't want to explain to her why we weren't going straight home back to Austin. Seemed a little disrespectful. So we did not accept their offer to help us out to the car. We piled this very large spray on top of all of our rods and reels and go down to Galveston. Now, the funeral spray was the last thing loaded, so that means it's the first thing off. So here's picture this scene in your head. Our tent in Galveston State Park with a 5-foot funeral spray beside it of yellow roses and gladiolas. Yeah. Different. We took pictures. Well, I'm going to share with you a scripture from the Bible. It's from Matthew 17. It's one of the miracles of Jesus, and it's a fishing story as well. It's very small, and it's probably the least talked about of the miracles, I think. But it does, it intrigues me, mostly because of the fishing. No, it's a great story. Let's start together. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From who do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own son or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. Now, let's stop there a minute. The first thing you see in this is there's a conversation. And it's interesting because the conversation's between the tax collectors and Peter. Does your teacher pay taxes? Oh, yes, he does. I'm not sure why he said that. I don't even know if he knew, but he says it. And then it's obvious that Jesus is not present for that conversation because the next verse says he goes into the house to see Jesus. So Jesus, being the Son of God, was privy to all conversations just as he is now. He had full knowledge of what he said. And he asked Peter, what do you think? Do the kings of the earth collect taxes from their sons or from others? And Peter says, others. Then the sons are exempt. In Exodus 30, there's a brief explanation and some other passages as well of this 2-drachma tax. And it's referred to as a ransom tax. And it was collected for the support of the temple. So what Jesus is telling Peter is that the temple belongs to God, his Father. As God's son, Jesus is free from the responsibility of paying that tax, as is Peter through his faith in Jesus as Lord. So you go on in verse 27. Jesus has just said the sons are exempt. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours, so that we may not offend them or cause them to stumble, is what Jesus is saying. So it's interesting to me that normally very bold and impetuous Peter, he's usually right in there being outspoken. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where he says a word. He just goes and fishes. So I'm thinking either he's really matured in his faith or he just wanted to go fishing. Either way, he obeys. And I'm thinking, the day that my teaching director tells me to stop everything and go fishing, I'll go. So at this point, we've got conversation. We've got the comment from Peter. Now we've got a coin. Research from people a lot smarter than I say that probably that fish was a tilapia, which we're pretty familiar with these days. Tilapia is a species of fish. They're called mouth breeders, not mouth breathers, breeders. And they carry their eggs and hatch their young in a pouch in their mouth. They go around the bottom of the sea or lake or wherever, and they pick up pebbles in their mouth. And it's not uncommon for them to pick up some foreign objects as well. They feed on plankton, and so that's why they're picking those little pebbles up. I'm not telling you that to say discounting the miracle of Jesus. Obviously, I think it's God can do whatever he wants with a fish. But it's interesting to me that skeptics would have something to think about when they read that fish. So the four drachma coin, this is getting really good. The four drachma coin would pay in full the tax for both Jesus and Peter. So Jesus provides the coin that will pay for a debt he doesn't owe and for Peter's debt who he can't pay. Sounds familiar. That leads us to another C, the cross. The cross that paid the sin debt that we all owe. Peter later writes in 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed or ransomed, but with the precious blood of Christ." There's one final C I want to share with you, and it's found in our book of study for this year. And it's coming, the second coming. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And we who call Christ our Savior one day, we will walk and talk with Jesus just as Peter did, all because Jesus paid the ransom tax for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we do call you worthy this morning. We thank you that in your mercy and grace, you provided our ransom. We just look forward and cling to the hope of the day that we will be in your presence. And we thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Y'all have a good morning.